Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
The UK government's vaccine advisory body, JCVI, or the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation, has decided against vaccinating children aged 12 to 15 years on health grounds alone. The committee said that vaccination only offers marginal gain and that there was insufficient evidence to offer mass vaccination to this group. Well, we're joined now by Martin McKee, who's Professor of European Public Health and at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. And Martin, thank you very much for joining us this evening. I wonder, what's your reaction to this decision?
Well, the reaction on the various WhatsApp groups and others that I'm on is, I have to say, one of incredulity, because this is completely out of step with decisions that have been made in many other countries, including Ireland, the United States, and many countries in continental Europe. We've been reading the report, and we're still trying to get our heads around it. They do report some numbers, but we're not entirely clear where those numbers come from or how they're worked out. They're not referenced. And so I think given that a number of us have done our own calculations and come to a different view, as has the CDC in the United States and your authorities and elsewhere, we're just really rather puzzled.
And does the committee explain how they reached that decision or what the concerns are? I know you're talking about numbers there. Does that give any explanation as to where this decision came from?
Well, their argument is that there is a marginal benefit from vaccinating otherwise healthy children, but they believe that the benefit is not sufficient to justify that, given the uncertainty. However, they don't mention long COVID. They don't pay any attention to that. They focus on the myocarditis, which is a known risk with the vaccine in young people, but it's a very, very remote, very, very small risk, and the cases that have been recorded have been transient, and the children have recovered rapidly. What we do know is that children who do get COVID are at a much greater risk of getting inflammation of the heart and getting damage. And they also say that, for example, we don't know about whether or not that might have a long-term consequences, but we do have accumulating evidence that children who are infected with the SARS-CoV-2 virus, a number of them do have persisting problems afterwards, and that's not taken into account. So, as I say, the data are really difficult to understand because they're not referenced. I mean, there are references in the paper, but they don't refer to the specific numbers, and we're trying to work out where they've got them from. I mean, I'm sure they have got them from somewhere, but as I say, without knowing that, it's rather difficult to say.
The decision by our own advisory body here, NIAC, and the government was to start offering vaccines to 12 to 15-year-olds from mid-August, but recommending vaccines for people in that age group who had underlying health conditions or were vulnerable for any particular reason. So there was a small distinction made between those two groups, people with no underlying health conditions or children otherwise healthy. They were being offered rather than specifically recommended. Is there any type of distinction such as that in what we've heard today from the UK?
Oh, well, they're not. If the report is put into practice, which I'm not sure it will be, because it will now, they've basically passed it over to the chief medical officers to make a decision. Now, I can't preempt what they will say, but I would be surprised if they actually take the same view. They will be taking into account a range of other considerations, but I think many of us would argue, even on the very narrow issues that were considered by JCVI, which is, will this be better for the individual children who are vaccinated? Our estimates and those of many other authorities are that it clearly would be. But I think when you add in the other issues like missing schooling and so on and so forth, then I think we probably will end up with a different policy. But I think that the issue of recommendation and offering is a bit of a semantic, really.
They did recommend specifically the COVID vaccine for clinically vulnerable children.
Yeah, fair enough. But I think there will be many other children, and we've seen elsewhere, in fact, that there's been quite enthusiastic uptake. There are a lot of young children, a lot of children who actually want to be vaccinated, and with this policy in the UK, they won't be able to.
So where is this? What consequences do you think, Martin, this is likely to have, not just from the specific health perspectives, but just from the perception of vaccine safety in the UK, approach to the vaccine, all of that?
It really doesn't help. It doesn't help when one country is completely out of line with so many other countries. And whenever they are emphasizing a very rare side effect, which has been transient in the cases that have been detected, you know, that creates confusion. But, you know, that's fair enough. It would be better not to have that. So I just generally think this is not a particularly helpful document.
And just that myocarditis that you've mentioned a couple of times, you said it's been transient. Can you just explain to us a little bit more about what we know about the cases of those? You know, how small a risk is that, or has that proven to be? And what do you mean when you say it's transient?
Well, lasting for a week or two, and you may get perhaps an abnormal rhythm or something like that for a short time if you actually beat something like that. Even that, in fact, most of the cases have actually been detected by scans and presented with really no symptoms, virtually no symptoms at all, and they have recovered fully.
So if the government then goes against this advice, as you've suggested they may do, they may not accept this advice from their own health authority on it, what do you reckon is the likely outcome of that? I mean, I can only assume it will still lead to a lower uptake. It's not a vote of confidence for people in the UK.
Well, technically what you could say is that the chief medical officers will be taking into account a wider range of issues, like the impact of children who get COVID and miss out on schooling and so on. And JCVI being very clear that they're not looking at that. So it would be perfectly reasonable to argue that JCVI had this very narrow focus, but when you take a look at the whole picture, you come to a different conclusion. And I'm sure that's what will be said, and that's how it will be presented. So I think in the end of the day, we will get to a situation where we will be, like you, offering vaccines to 12 to 15-year-olds. But I think it's just going to delay it a bit. But you're right, it does create confusion.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. We'll see how that goes next week. Thank you to Professor Martin McKee.